You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Amen. Well, I'm so happy to have Prophet Eddie up here with me today. For those that don't know, me and Prophet Eddie, we met about 24 years ago. You remember that? About 24 years ago. And you gave our family a word from the Lord. You were listening, and God spoke some things to you, and you gave us a word that we would move to South Florida and start a church. And so as we're on this whole journey of talking about listening, I thought it would be really apropos to have you up here and share some of the things that God has shown you about listening and talk about that, because I think this is such a growing experience for any believer as we learn to listen better. The Word of God says, "My sheep know my voice." And so it's important as we train ourselves to hear the voice of God. So if you ever see Prophet Eddie in the hallway, you can go ahead and just say thank you to him, because God used him in a really powerful way to get us down here. And so we started this series, Listen, a couple weeks back, and we just had this prayer: God, take me on a journey to be a better listener, to hear the things that you want me to hear. And so we want to hear God's voice more clearly and more consistently. And I think that's what every believer should want. So that's the question. God is ready to speak to us. God is speaking to us, but are we ready to listen? I want to start us off in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, if you'll go there with me. And we'll kind of jump around on some different verses, but Matthew 13, there's this common thread that Jesus says, and that's why I entitled this sermon today, Ears to Hear. Because Jesus keeps on saying this, having this expression, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Those that have ears to hear. You tell a parable and you come back to this. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. So today we're going to be talking about ears to hear. This is part three of the series. But Matthew 13:12 says, "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening," somebody say listening. "Those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." That's funny, because normally this passage of scripture would kind of cross me at first as, you know, Jesus was kind of saying, if you are not responsible, I'm going to take away the little understanding that you do have if you stop listening. But actually, as I was praying this week, the Lord was just showing me that Jesus wasn't threatening his disciples. He was rather letting us know how the enemy works. If we stop listening, the enemy will come to confiscate the word of God that we have learned in other seasons of our life. If we don't continue to keep our ears sharp, Jesus is saying, watch out, continue to listen, because if you don't listen, then the enemy will come and steal the revelation that I gave you in previous seasons of your life. So I think it's so important what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, if you're listening, more will be given. But if you're not listening, even what you have could be taken away, could be stolen away.
There's only two voices in the world. It's the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy in the world system. And that voice in the world system is coming at you in a million ways. It's the TV programs, it's the radio, it's music. So when you're not really listening and reading the word and praying more than you are the voices that are in the world, and you start tuning in, it creeps in on you. It happens to all of us. We kind of go through those seasons where that voice starts creeping in, and it's hard to discern when it's coming in, and you start losing what you've already learned. I mean, basic things that you might have learned as a young Christian, because you've kind of went through the season where you kind of got away from the Lord a little bit, and all of a sudden you start forgetting what you've learned. And that's why he's saying, if you have ears to listen, you could see things but not really observe them. It's two different things. You could see something, but you're not observing. You could hear sound, but listening is when you tune all the other voices and just listen to his specific voice. And that's when you start to really grow in hearing his voice.
I think it's incredible what we have that's now available to us. Many have wanted to hear throughout the years, but now Jesus is telling us in the New Testament, it's available to us. We have we have the availability of God's voice, but the question is, are we listening? Matthew 13:11, he says to his disciples, he says, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom, but others are not." You know, there were ones that came before us that they didn't have the opportunity to listen. And still to this point, those that aren't following after God, they're not going to be able to hear. They're not going to be permitted to hear some of these great secrets that God wants to tell us. So it's important when Jesus is saying, if you're my disciple, if you're following after me, if you're disciplining yourself in your walk, you're going to be able to hear what other people aren't permitted to hear yet. And so that's why he was talking in parables. He was basically saying, I'm speaking in parables because not everybody is permitted to hear these secrets. They have to commit to being a disciple of Christ. When we give our life to Christ, when we're a son or daughter of God, we have access to secrets of the kingdom.
And the key word in that scripture is being a disciple.
Yeah.
And I know that means discipline, and that word has a bad connotation. But really, it just means setting time apart, just like you would in any relationship. If you're married, if you have a family, you always set time apart. Dinner time, sometime you're going to set apart where it's going to be you and that person. And as you grow in that relationship, it's easy to be a disciple because it's a love relationship. It's not, you got to be a disciple and this is how it's going to be and you're in the army now, and that's great. But you want to be a disciple. He wants you to be a disciple. His disciples wanted to be with him all the time. And that's how it is with us. The more you are with him in the word, in his presence, in prayer, ministering to others, the more you become a disciple without even knowing it. He's the one that does the work. It's him that will to do the work in you. All he's asking for you to do is just yield your time to him.
I think that's so key, because we're talking about in part one, we're talking about, you know, the things often that we have to change to be a disciple. You know, when we're a disciple, we have to do things differently than we did before we became a disciple of Christ, before we really dedicated ourselves to God's teachings. And so you're right. It's a lot of it is just a heart to surrender, because when we surrender, the Holy Spirit helps us know what needs to be changed. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to change the things we need to change. Amen. And I saw something really interesting here in Matthew 13:24, if you'll go there with me. Matthew 13:24 says, here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field, but that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. You know, as I was just thinking about this and studying this week, in our lives, we have wheat and we have weeds. There is the word of God, and then there are distractions. There's God's voice, and then there's other voices. There's other noise that goes on in our life. Amen. How many have had some noise in your life? There's a big difference between noise and God. And so we have to guard against this enemy that is wanting to sow weeds. You know, God is speaking to us. God is nurturing this relationship. And we have this thing going on with God. And there's something developing in us, right? Something rich, something pure, like wheat. But then the enemy comes and he tries to sow these weeds in the middle of the work that God is doing in our lives. And so he wants to sow noise in your life. Amen. That's one part of what he wants to sow. And this noise becomes a distraction to hearing from God. Noise makes it difficult to hear God, makes it difficult to concentrate on his voice. And so we have to find ways to remove the noise, to adjust our schedule or adjust our habits to make it easier to hear his voice, adjust the business or of what we're doing, or just set time aside, like you were saying, so that we can have that space in our life to hear God's voice.
When he was saying there's weeds and wheat that grow at the same time, that word weeds is actually a wheat. It looks just like wheat. It's called Darcy, I think is the name of it. So it looks just like wheat as it's growing. But when it comes to the full time for it to blossom, the wheat bows down and the weed doesn't. So what he's trying to say, there's voices that come into our life and we need to see, are they bowing down, the voices that we're hearing, the thoughts that we're getting? Is it bowing down to God's word? Is it bowing down to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us? If it's raising itself above God's word or what your Holy Spirit inside is telling you, then that's weed that's coming into your life. And you need to cut that down. Say, no, I thought that was a good thought, Lord, but that wasn't you because your scripture says. Or that wasn't you because I got this little knot in my stomach when I was thinking about doing something. I thought it was good, but it wasn't you. It looked good, but it wasn't God.
You know, that's so powerful because the word of God is our measuring stick. You know, when we're hearing something in our life, is this the voice of God? What's our measuring stick? We go back to the word of God. Does this, what I'm hearing, does this line up with the character of God? Does this line up with the track record, the way that God normally moves? Or is this seem like it's something that's foreign? Does this seem like this is something that's contrary to the way that God's characteristics normally move? So I think it's so important as believers, if we want to sharpen our hearing, we have to be in the word of God. Because we have to have something as a comparison. We had to be able to do that A-B test. I'm hearing this, but what does the word of God say? Does this line up? Does this confirm or does this deny what I'm hearing? You know, because I think a lot of times we go too much on our feeling. We think it because our feeling can be on. Sometimes our feeling can be off. But the word of God can be a great confirmation or denial of what we're feeling. Because sometimes it could be discernment. Sometimes it could be emotion. And so the word of God really separates the difference of those voices in our life. And I think that's so very important to the modern believer. We have to remain in the word. We have to get back into the word of God. Amen. Because there's so many different things out there, different thought processes, different teachings out there. And the Bible already says it. In the last days, there's going to be some crazy teaching. You're going to hear some crazy teaching. You're going to hear some stuff that's not exactly what the Word of God says. So I think as we train and we retrain our ears, we have to be in the Word of God.
I know I had a very great opportunity to sit with Prophet Randy Lechner for 3 hours for lunch. And, of course, he did 2 hours and 45 minutes of talking. Which was amazing for me. But one of the great revelations that he gave me right before I came back to Hope, he said, Ed, this is what the Lord's showing me. The Lord is taking us back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said the foundation teachings of Jesus. So I walk in that Sunday morning here, and of course, what's Joshua teaching? Mm-hmm. Pastor Joshua, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what he was saying that, the scripture saying that in the last days, there'll be itching ears. There'll be a famine for the word. And there's a lot of word being taught. But is it going back to the foundation of what Jesus taught? Don't go up any higher than stratosphere and great revelations if it's not based on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I was kind of amazed because Randy's a very deep teacher. But the Lord's taking him back. And I think the Lord's taking his body back to Jesus so they could hear his voice and not have itching ears and hear something that's not scripturally based.
Yeah, I love one of the things that that Pastor Corinne said. I think this really ties into itching ears. In the beginning, and we've been battling with this from the beginning, there was two trees. And so you have the tree of life, and then you have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we have the opportunity to eat from the tree of life, which is the word of God, right? But sometimes we have these itching ears that we have this thirst for the knowledge of things that are all types of things, right? And so that's oftentimes what gets us off course as Christians. Even as Christians, we're searching for stuff that's good. It's knowledge of good, but there's other stuff mixed in with it, is knowledge of evil. But that's not what God had. God said, don't focus on this. Don't do this. This isn't for you. Stick with, even if it seems more simple, stick with what gives you life, the tree of life, you know? And I just think about in the book of Psalms, when it talks about being planted as a tree by the rivers of living water. You know, when you're in the Word of God, you are planted like a tree by the water, and the water, the Word of God, and the voice of God is just flowing into your life. It's flowing into your root system. It's nourishing you. I read this also in Matthew 13:3. So Jesus telling these stories, he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted underneath the hot sun, and since they did not have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears should hear and listen and understand. So I love this, and I said this at the beginning. Jesus is always checking to see if we're listening. Are you hearing, right? Like Apostle was saying last week, not just are you hearing, but are you listening? Are you understanding? And that's an important point, because sometimes we can come to church and we can hear a sermon, but are we listening? You know, that's so important. Some of the men get together and we have this incredible Bible study on Wednesday nights, and everybody breaks up into their groove, but the men, I'm over there with the men, and I love something that Brother Bill James said. And he said, every time there's a sermon that goes, I write something down, and I'm just kind of meditating on that during the week, and I'm kind of in my own time thinking and praying on that thing. And I said, man, that's a powerful thing, Brother James. That's a great thing. We should always be making sure that we're not just hearing something, but we're listening. There's a word from God that is going forth. It's like God sowing seed, right? He's scattering seed. And so God is like this farmer, but not everyone gets it. Some people get it and they lose it, right? Some people miss it. Some people get it and they lose it. But while other people, they get it and they're able to hold on to it, right? And it enriches their life and it enriches their faith. And so we realize, even in this parable, that there's a battle over the Word of God in your life. The enemy is coming. He's sending different stuff like birds to try to take out, right? To try to get it before it even takes root. Others, when it's still developing in your life, the enemy tries to put weeds in there to choke it out, right? But the Word of God has to be guarded, because the enemy really wants to confiscate the Word of God from your life.
And that's what happens during worship. Worship, we start to soften our hearts to be able to listen to what he's saying. When Pastor Quinn said, what is the Lord saying to you? And one of the words he gave me just a couple of days ago was, don't try to get out of your circumstance, because I'm always trying to get out of difficult circumstances, but get up into my presence. Because when you're up in his presence in worship, he can't steal the word from your heart. But when you're letting the cares of this world, all the things that were stealing the seeds out of people's hearts, when you get into that circumstance and stay there, instead of just saying, okay, I can't change my circumstance right now. There is a breakthrough. It's happening now, like the song we sang. I was saying, there's a breakthrough now, and it's coming. It's now. And we could prophesy all those things, but getting up in his presence and worship softens your heart so that the seed could begin to grow. And when we're coming into the house of the Lord, part of listening to the word is coming and saying, I'm not just going to listen. I'm coming with a heart of, I want to say obey, but to me it's yield to it. Because obey sounds like a school teacher. To me, I want to yield to my Father's voice. I want to do what he wants me to do because he loves me. And so you come with a yielding heart to be able to listen to the word and yield to it. I'm kind of like Bill and other people. I take notes when people are ministering, because when I'm writing down, there's key things that they say that the Lord begins to speak to me. Like the first week that Joshua spoke about Samuel, and he's sitting and he started serving in the midst of difficult circumstances, and he started to hear. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, Eddie, that's how you started. I started as an usher. I didn't want to be an usher. I'm very introverted. I'm not comfortable up here. And I fought it and fought it. Finally, when I started to usher, I started to hear the voice of the Lord clearer than I ever did before. It was just in that service, even in difficult situations. So it's yielding when you hear a word from the Lord.
I like when we were talking this week and you were talking about, you were just kind of reliving that first sermon a little bit where we were talking about Samuel and talking how it's so powerful when we're serving. God really speaks to us. You know, of course, Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is a servant. But when we serve in the house of God, something really powerful happens that we put ourselves in a position to hear God's voice.
And the key to Samuel serving and hearing, when he fell asleep by the Ark of the Covenant, so he started hearing the Lord call him by his name. We've got so much of a better covenant. When we're serving, the Ark of the Covenant is here. It's inside of us. So he begins, as we begin to serve, he starts speaking from the inside out of us. And usually it's for someone else. It's usually just a word of, we call it prophecy. To me, it's just encouraging word, a building word, something to affirm somebody, something to say, something to build them up. And so that's in the service when you, if it's ushering, if it's greeting, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's that you're giving of yourself, and that Ark of the Covenant that's in you, that Holy Spirit, wants to bubble up inside you and move.
Amen. I want to turn this a little bit practical right now. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about how do you go about hearing God. Say there's an area of your life that you really want to hear God on, because I'm sure there's many of our family here today that is saying, man, I really need to hear God in this particular area of my life. How do I go about doing that? How do you go? Talk about your process about how you go about hearing the voice of God in a particular area.
Well, I know as a young Christian, that was probably one of the most frustrating parts for me, is learning the Christianese language. And they kept saying, hear the voice of God, hear that. And I'm going like, I don't hear, you know, I'm listening. But because we're all designed to hear in a different way. And so I'm designed to hear by what I feel inside. And so when I want to hear the Lord's voice on something very specific, it says, be still and know that I'm God. So quote that scripture back there for me. And so what I try to do is try to find a place where I could just be still. It really doesn't take a long time. And because he's always waiting on us to be still. And I find a place to be still. And I try to drop down into my spirit. I close my eyes and I just drop down in my spirit. I might pray for a little bit and bring the circumstance up to the Lord. And then I just wait to hear, wait to feel what he's trying to say to me. And it's either a yes or a no, or a wait or a pause. There's always a word he gives. And it might not be the answer that I want, but it's an answer that I need. And when I feel peace, I go, okay, I may not be extremely happy about waiting, but I know that it's him. So that's the main thing, just being still before him and waiting to hear in the way that you're designed to hear from him.
I love this thing that we were talking about this week, and you were telling me about this revelation about the five different ways that we're designed to hear from God. And we have our different hearing styles. You know, God, of course, can speak to us in any way. He can do whatever he wants to do. But normally there's a normal communication method that he has. But talk about these five different ways.
Well, there's at least five different ways the Lord can speak to you. Or he's, what I would call it, that he's designed for you to hear from him. When you were being knit inside your mother's womb, Psalm 139, he knit at least two gifts inside of you. One is the gift to make your way in life. A gift that you could work or business, whatever it might be. And the other gift is a fine-tuned way that he wants to speak to you in your life. So I look at it five senses: your eyes, your ears, your discerning, your smell, touch. Some people are seers, and I could walk around the room, I could even see who they are. They just have these brilliant eyes, and they just see, and they close their eyes at night, and they just start dreaming because the Lord is speaking to them in their dreams. Other people are like my brother Bill over here, that the Lord downloads into his mind. Another one is Apostle Prophet Dennis. They have this anointed, brilliant mind, and the Lord just speaks to them in their thoughts, in their minds, and he downloads all these incredible ideas, business ideas. Not just business, but that's how he speaks to them. So all of us have a special way that he's designed us. Some of us are feelers. I can feel his presence. I can feel when something's wrong in a room. And if I could just put my hands on someone and pray for them, in the middle of the prayer, all of a sudden I'm ministering the word of the Lord because I'm a feeler. I can feel it. So it's really discovering on how you were designed to hear from the Lord. And then it can grow like Pastor Joshua was saying. I mean, he could speak to you in a million ways. But when you fine-tune that one, then it's automatic. It's all the time.
I wanted to make sure we got around to this because I think this is very important. It's very practical. So what do you do once you hear a word from God? What do you do? What's the stewardship element of when you feel God has spoken to you?
Well, for me, I know that when he speaks to me and I receive it and I get it in my spirit and in my mind, I mean, for me, because of the ministry that I'm really called to, I ask the Lord, Lord, who do you want me to share this with? And then he'll start bringing people into my mind. I need that word. And I'll either call them. I have a texting ministry. And I'll text that word to them because I know it could be a scripture, it could be a thought. Because people are constantly calling for prayer and they want to tell a long story. And I don't want to hear a long story. I just want to know a part of it. And then I say, okay, let's see what the Lord has to say. And it might take me a day or two. And then the Lord will speak to me. He'll give me a scripture. He'll give me a word. And it's never only for me. It's never only for me. It's always to share. So that's part of it. And that kind of locks it into me too. Because once I share it, now it's flowing out of me. And it becomes a deeper word inside of me.
And there's a difference between, and we were talking about that this week. The difference between when God is speaking to you something to you. And when God is speaking to you about somebody that's close to you, somebody that's in your path and in your family or something, and God speaks a word to you for them.
Right. There's definitely times that he's just speaking to me about me because he wants to, kind of straighten me out a little bit. He wants to straighten out the way I'm thinking. He wants my mind to be right, my emotions to be right. So he kind of gives me, we call it a corrective word. It's just correcting me so that my emotions and my heart and my mind will be in tune with the mind of Christ. One of the things that the scripture says is that we have the mind of Christ. I remember somebody coming up to me saying, we were discussing something about the word, and they said, oh, I have the mind of Christ. And no, nobody has the mind of Christ. But collectively, we do have the mind of Christ. And that's why the word says that we prophesy in part, we know in part, But when we come together like this, the clarity of what we're hearing is greater. So, when I hear from the Lord, a lot of times I'll write it down because I want to know and meditate on that and realize, okay, there's got to be a change here. And so I need to focus on it.
I would like to, Prophet Eddie for us to pray for the people today, because I believe that these things, you know, we're on this journey and many people here, they're learning. This is the way that I'm hearing from God. You know, I've had some of the members come up. I'm seeing this vision, this dream. You know, I've been dreaming a lot, or, you know, others, like, I've been hearing this, or like you said, other people, God's making a download in their mind, giving them God thoughts. So I just want to pray that God would just release people into hearing God in the way that he designed them to hear them. So if you'll all stand up, I really feel this is the way God wants us to end the service. And we're on a journey to hear God's voice more clearly. And you can never say that I've arrived. I know everything, or my hearing is perfect, because there's always room. There's always this place to grow and to become more like Christ. And Christ is our example in everything. But he just had this ability to hear the voice of the Father, to see things by the Spirit. So just lift your hands with me. Let's pray.
Father, we just want to thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your presence of your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. We thank you that there's been a river flowing through this room, Lord. Father, we ask you that we would be like your Son, that we would do what we see you doing, that we would hear and speak what you're saying. Lord, your Son said he didn't do anything without first hearing from you, Lord. So, Father, I'm asking you that your Holy Spirit will begin to move upon us in a greater way than ever before, even as that song that we sang to you this morning, greater than ever before, Lord. Holy Spirit, move upon everyone here today, that you would move greater in an ability to hear the Father's voice, to see the Father's vision for their lives, Lord, and to be able to interpret dreams that you're giving them, Lord. Father, I'm asking you by your Spirit that you would move upon everyone here in the way that you've designed them to finely tuned hear you, Lord. And that they would be able to interpret what they're hearing so they could move in what you've called them to do and be, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, flood this place with your presence, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Father, for everybody that's come here today. Lord, it's you that prompts us to have listening ears. Just in the words of Jesus, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. God, give us ears that hear your voice, Father. I thank you, God, for the journey that you have each and every person in this room on. God, that you would let them grow. God, in this season, Father, let this be a season, and I declare that over their life, that this would be a season that they hear
yes.
more clearly than they've yes. ever heard, that they would hear more consistently than they've ever heard, and those things in their life that they're seeking you, they're seeking your face to hear your voice on, God, that you would speak to them, that there would be no doubt, Father, what your will, what your purpose, what your plan, what your strategy, what your direction is for their life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's give God the praise.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.